Person or wrestler?
Wrestler.
All right. Welcome to Unscripted Wrestling. We got a lot going on tonight. We're going to be talking about various news topics. We're not going to be previewing WrestleMania too much. We'll be doing that tomorrow. But we are going to be doing our top 10 greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. All that is going to be happening on Unscripted Wrestling this week. Oops.
I've got the look that drives the gold while I've got the move that really move them. I said chill, up and down that line. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy.
All right, gentlemen. I am your host for tonight's evening, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with the Unscripted Wrestling crew, my brother Doug.
Yo.
Our good friend Clintus.
Hey.
And Eric's here.
What's up?
Not much. How's everyone doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Good.
Good to hear. WrestleMania weekend?
Yep.
Big things are happening. But first, before we get into too much, let's go to Dougie with the news.
I'm doing the news first.
Let's do the news.
Okay. All right. So real quick, a few news topics. We forgot to kind of bring this up last week. Clintus brought it up after we were done with the show, but the news technically broke this past week about the Hurt Business, the Hurt Business split up last Monday night or the Monday before. And apparently it was a Vince McMahon call. Even though MVP and Bobby Lashley said, no, it's a bad idea. But Vince stood ground and said, no, it's happening. Hurt Business is broke up. A lot of people think this is a bad idea. I don't think Bobby Lashley needs the Hurt Business. I just think he needs MVP cutting promo. Even though I actually think Lashley's a pretty good promo.
No, he needs a mouth.
So MVP, yes. Benjamin and Alexander, no, because Lashley beats the shit out of people by himself. He doesn't need anybody to do his dirty work for him.
Can I rebuttal?
Go ahead.
Lashley needs the Hurt Business because what was Lashley without him? This whole thing has made him.
Yeah.
I knew it before this, but the bullshit with Sami Zayn, the bullshit with Rusev and Lana, they did not have anything good for this man until the Hurt Business. And it got guys like Alexander and Benjamin, who are two of the most underrated guys in the company. And Benjamin, who should be in the Hall of Fame someday, one of the best pure athletes they've ever had, it gave them something to do. And it made them legitimate again. And it made people like them. It doesn't have to all be about Bobby Lashley. The whole group was powerful.
Well, and that's the thing. I do agree with that point. I do think Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin are screwed now.
Yeah. What are they
so doing? I do think what they need to do is they need to go into Vince's office, grab him, pick him up, and then throw him down a flight of stairs.
Retribution still together, right?
No, they split.
No,
they split. Split down, yeah.
They split. Go ahead, Clinton.
Well, I was going to say this, piggyback with what your brother was saying, that you will think, if you look at the Hurt Business and how all four of them men was like Evolution. You remind me of Evolution, but better. The head guy, Bobby Lashley, is like the Triple H, the leader, the powerhouse. You have Cedric, and those two, all four of them, just mainly just gel together and came together almost like a nation domination type of thing. Evolution, Revolution, their attitude era, I will compare them to the nation of domination, but better.
Better than, yeah, better. For sure.
I mean, I see your guys' point again. I don't think this is going to hurt Lash. I think it's going to hurt the other two guys.
It's going to hurt Lashley. You just don't see it yet.
Yeah, because he can beat people up, but he's a credible. It's not that. It's just the storyline was so strong, and what they had was so strong. They all actually could cut great promos, and every time they went out there, it was believable. And you don't – WWE's had a wild year. They've thrown a lot at the wall, and a lot of it has not worked. So why do you take one of the things that have worked? That hurt business, as much as you hate those four guys, it's been one of the best things on WWE television. I'm not finished yet. When you take a group like that – that is one of the best things on WWE television, and you split them up, it makes no sense. It's another thing of taking something that's not broken and trying to fix it.
Okay. You want to know why you take something that works and you break it up?
Why?
Because Vince McMahon is a fucking moron.
I agree.
He is a 75-year-old dipshit that has no idea what the hell he's doing now. And what they need to do is what most neglecting nursing homes do to patients that they don't feel like dealing with anymore. They need to take them and they need to throw them down a flight of fucking stairs. Make it look like an accident.
So then you agree that this is stupid?
Yes. Okay. I agree to the point. I still don't think, I don't see yet where Bobby Lashley needs them. Yet, so I don't think this is going to hurt Bobby Lashley just yet.
I just think it's just a layer.
You just don't see it. You don't see it because now he's put Stupid Baron Corbin in the mix.
It's just an extra layer.
It's a crack. All the cracks are there, and it's going to come crumbling down Sunday, tomorrow night. Guess what? It's going to come crumbling down.
It was just a cool thing about him. Why take a cool thing away? Like, they all look cool.
Because Vince is stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 75, doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He needs to go away.
I just think it's just kind of ridiculous because it's just right before WrestleMania, like, this is working. This is cool. This is, like, why people like Lashley now. Why are you going to get rid of that? And MVP's been awesome in that role.
Well, MVP's still there.
I know he's sticking around, but he's been awesome in that role as the coach for the team.
Yeah.
Not just for one player. He's been the coach for the whole team, so.
Well, and MVP and Lashley, they were not happy about it. They tried to tell Vince, you know, this is a bad idea. Good. Well, we're still doing it, pal. Well, then that's why your fucking ass is going down a flight of stairs. And if you survive, we'll do it again. So anyway, all right, so next piece of business. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Chris Jericho recently did an interview. Not the interview that's airing Sunday, but another interview where basically he revealed, and I think it was with Sports Illustrated, where he revealed that TNT has laid down the edict, there are to be no more surprises on Dynamite. Everything must be advertised now. They cannot have any more surprises. Like, you either advertise it or you don't have it on the show.
Nope.
It's stupid. Because I do think you need surprises because you need to catch people off guard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If people see everything coming, if people expect stuff, they're not going to tune in. Like, if you need to have people tuned in, and then you need to throw stuff at them that they're not going to expect. If they expect it, they're not going to watch it.
Yeah.
Especially now that you're just rolling solo without the NXT moving to Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
There's only two points that I can kind of think of for it. And the first one would be that AEW could use to cut back on surprises, maybe a little. Because, I mean, some of the things that they surprise, like, it does seem like every week sometimes, or every other week, that it's like something, oh, this guy's here from this indie promotion, or this guy, I mean, when Sting showed up, it was a fucking moment. It was awesome. That needed to happen. Did a surprise Brian Cage at the one pay-per-view need to happen? Maybe not. Maybe he could have just, you know,
Show it as a surprise.
Yeah.
But then TNT said, no, he needs, if he's signed, advertise him.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that makes sense because Big Show is a bigger name and it can draw people in. I'm cool with the Christian Cage surprise, though.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how many viewers is Christian going to really... Well, I love Christian.
But... Nah, I don't know if they're upset about last week, Statlander and Trent. So I don't know if this means, like, surprise returns can happen.
Yeah.
Which... not shock and awe really, but the kind of, you know, surprise factor of Trent coming out and helping his buddies and now Statlander coming with them.
Yeah.
Like, that's not just a one-off. Like, she actually came out with them Wednesday night.
Yeah. The only other thing I can think of, which this makes sense to me, when Tony Khan went to TNT, when AEW went to TNT, they pitched this as a sports-centric product. Now, I have believed since they said that, made that statement, that they've lied.
Yeah.
I've been thinking that. I do think it's very pro-wrestling, and there is a lot of fucking sports entertainment to it. Yes, it's a lot more longer matches, and they do a lot of stuff that WWE doesn't, and I do love AEW. But it has been some bullshit, too, and jokey stuff. And,
yeah.
But they picked the sports-centric product. Now, in sports... You really don't do surprises. They're not going to say, hey, we got a football game. We got the Bills and the Patriots, and then Tom Brady shows up, and he's like, I'm back on the Patriots for a game. Here you go.
Yeah.
You know, they have to advertise it, and that's what sports is. So maybe they want it to be like that. No, you have your cards. This is what you're going to do, and this is how you're going to get people in, and do it like that instead of having random people come in every time.
Now – I want to bring this up real quick, and then we'll get to our last news item that I have here, and then we can get in there. What did everybody think of the Young Bucks turning on Moxley? I don't give a fuck. Because I saw it. Huh?
I mean, did you not see it coming, though?
How can you be surprised?
I saw it coming.
Yeah.
I didn't give a shit because I saw it coming. Because, I mean,
should have happened when he first turned heel. Should have happened months ago when Omega turned heel. Like, why have him be faced
exactly.
This way? I mean, they're obviously going to align with Omega and the Bullet Club's going to come back at some point.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Like, we knew it. If they should have done it earlier. That'd be my only critique.
Yeah, I mean, it should have happened. Whoever's playing ping pong, stop. Because that's what it sounds like. I know it's not you.
Not me.
Not me.
It's Stevie.
He's not even here.
That was a joke.
My only thing about it, I didn't care about it, mainly because I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Because I was watching TakeOver. Because to be honest with you, to me, that was more important than whether or not, the Bucks were going to turn on Moxley, which you knew was going to happen. As soon as I saw that the match was advertised, I'm like, they're going to turn on him.
The double super.
That's what I said, too.
Really nice, though. Like, I know they do that a lot, but the way they hit it.
I did see that.
It was like a cool turn the way it happened.
Yeah.
And it was like, Shivani played it up and stuff. And then they kissed Omega after, which is kind of weird, but.
Yeah, well, Omega liked it because Omega's actually into that thing.
Which is okay.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with that.
but yeah, I mean. Whatever, it happened. It's cool. I'm excited to see what happens now. I'm cool with a heel Bullet Club running the place.
Yeah, but now does that mean Moxley has to get, a group of guys with him and we have another faction?
I fucking hope not. I think that they're probably inner circle trying to go after him after they get past the Pinnacle.
Well, and here's the thing. This AEW right now feels very circa WWF 1997 to me.
Oh, yeah. All faction wrestling. I said it last.
Because here's the reason why. In WWF 1997, you had the Hart Foundation, you had DX, you had
Nation of Domination,
Los Barriquas, Disciples of Apocalypse, the legendary Truth Commission.
Greatest team of all time.
So
that's six, right?
Yeah.
You got more. All right, so in AEW, what do we have? We have the Bullet Club now, Elite. Well, not Elite, but the Bullet Club.
Bullet Club.
Pinnacle.
Pinnacle, Inner Circle, Dark Order.
Jurassic Express.
Death Triangle. Best
Friend.
Best Friend, because You know, there's four of them now.
And Jurassic Express, Quimicet, technically that's three. I mean, you don't have to count it as a faction if you don't.
Well, I mean, we can. Jurassic Express, then you have the Hardy brand or the Hardy business or whatever the fuck they're calling that.
Yeah.
That's
and then the new one that just, the new one that, with the Rhodes, that's whatever his name is.
Oh, the Nightmare.
Not Rhodes.
Whatever the fuck.
The Nightmare Family.
Well, you have the Nightmare Family, and then you have the Nightmare Factory.
Jesus Christ. It's a lot of teeth.
So, I mean,
well,
this is very...
You used to call this the older... Maybe this is not more like... This is mainly like 97 all over again. And not only did WWE did it. WCW did it with the New World Order and everything else like that.
Well, yeah, because
like everybody...
You're trying to bring back the 90s. More like the 90s.
WCW, they had, you know, NWO, Horsemen, Dungeon of Doom, of, I think, others, but I'm not sure.
I don't hate guys aligning together. I just feel like to really have a stable means something, you need one stable running the joint, and then a bunch of other people have to go after them. Maybe it's an old school mentality, but.
You're not wrong.
When you have all these groups, it gets a little muddled for me. But
I'm just going to say this, and then we'll move on to the last item I have here. I've got nothing against any of these people and any of these groups. Well, I have a lot against the Young Bucks and Don Callis. I think the Young Bucks' parents and Don Callis' parents need to be put on death row for having those kids. I've got nothing against like the majority of them, but you don't need so many factions. Because what are you going to do? You're going to.
I agree that.
Like every 3 months.
Yeah, I mean.
All right.
You can't do it.
No.
I mean, there's cool things to do with it, but there's too many right now.
I 100% agree. All right. Last piece of business, then we can get into the piece of business why we're here. All right. It was reported earlier today that Becky Lynch, they are trying to come up, and they may have an idea to come up for Becky Lynch to return to WrestleMania this weekend.
You know what the idea is?
Yes.
What is it?
Well, it's being pitched right now. If everybody noticed, Bayley's not on WrestleMania at all. And she was asked about it, and she goes, I'm trying to come up with ideas. I don't know if any of them are greenlit or not. I guess the idea right now is that Bayley does her Ding Dong Hello show.
Yeah.
And that Becky returns during that. I don't know if it's actually going to happen or not, but it is very cool that Becky Lynch could show up at WrestleMania.
I would enjoy that.
Not in that role. No. Not in that role. No. Oh, hell, that's just a waste of time. No.
Okay. All right. Then let's give him, all right, then pitch something.
I mean, you could do anything else, but like how WrestleMania is already set up two nights, you don't need nobody's sidekick. We don't need another Elias trying to sing a song. We got everybody. No, we don't need none of that. And I'm upset that Bayley should have a match. Bayley, yes, she should have a match. If you want to have it, do something like tonight, maybe. But no.
If Becky were going to return during a Bayley talk show segment, it would have to be tonight.
I would probably say, because technically WrestleMania is starting tonight anyway. So, SmackDown WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, with that being the case, we got to hurry up and get this fucking thing on the...
Okay, never mind.
What? Well, what were you going to say?
I was going to pitch that Bayley should do a WrestleMania challenge and then Becky comes out and challenges her.
I mean, that's no. Well, that's the easiest fucking solution, though. Yeah, but, I mean, I would be cool with it. It would get a bigger pop than the talk show thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they have a little 10-minute match. People get excited. Becky kicks her ass.
Yeah, but do you really want to do that to Bailey, though?
She's a heel, so you kind of can.
Right. All right. Well, anyway, we've wasted too much time.
Let's just get to the meat and potatoes in the store.
Greatest WrestleMania match.
I'm excited.
Me too. This is our top 10. We all have top 10s, right?
We all have top 10s, and then there's a fan vote. Eric, do you have Stevie's list that he gave you?
Yes, I do.
I'll go over it at the end.
You want to go over it? You'll go over it at the end?
Yeah, we'll say it's at the end because we're already a little strapped for time. So,
okay.
We'll do – I'll start it with Quinneth, then you, then Eric, then me, then the fan vote.
Okay.
So start with you, Quinneth. What is your number 10 greatest WrestleMania match vote?
All right, my number 10, I'm actually going to go for WrestleMania 2000, the Triangle Ladder Match. The Dudleys, Edge and Christian, and the Hardys, TLC. I think without that match he had, TLC will never have never happened.
He's right.
He is right.
TLC match?
Yeah. Well, no, not the TLC match, the Triangle Ladder Match from 2000. Which I really like that match.
I think that was probably the best match on that card.
It was the best match of the card.
The two-fall triple threat.
Yeah.
I really like that match.
Yeah, that was good. All right.
I like
it
too.
My number 10?
Yeah.
Randy Orton and Seth Rollins from WrestleMania 31.
Ooh.
Okay. It was a really good match. I mean, nobody saw what would happen later in the night coming. I mean, and the only reason why they did that is because they didn't want the fans to riot, you know, if Roman won the title, even though they were in, Samoan territory in San Francisco. And if any of the fans that were not Samoan tried to riot, then you had about 50 Samoans that would have been more than happy to kill them. But the Roman Reigns Seth Rollins match, or not Roman Reigns, the Randy Orton Seth Rollins match, I believe was the best match, the best singles match on that show. Okay, probably the best match though on the card was probably that Intercontinental Title ladder match, even though Goatface won it.
Yeah. I mean the curb stomp to the RKO is just cool to watch.
Yeah, that's the main reason why I put it as my number 10.
I like that. All right, Eric, what do you got?
I got HBK versus Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24. Career ending match for Ric Flair. Storyline coming into this was fantastic, I think. And I think the match was great. Two of the greatest of all time. At least top five.
Yeah.
I think that was the first match in 3 years, though, that Flair had that where he didn't once go for the crotch grab.
Yeah.
3 years grabbing crotch up until this very.
That match had everything.
Yeah.
Like, it was such good, passionate sports entertainment. Like, I almost cried.
It was a very teary moment.
Yeah.
It just, and I love Ric Flair. I know you don't. But it kind of sucks that he had to wrestle after this, like in TNA and shit. Like, why can't you just, like, this is the greatest final goodbye of all time. Just let it be. Like, I know.
You know, the problem, and I 100% agree with you, but you know he could have said no, right?
So do
I. He's Ric Flair. People have been saying for years, you know, what Ric Flair says is gospel. So if Ric Flair would have said, no, I'm not doing this.
Oh, no, it's his fault too, yeah.
Then they would have listened.
Yeah.
apparently he didn't say that.
Yeah.
He was probably looking for an extra payday because his TNA management contract was probably only $10 an appearance.
Probably. It was just, this was just the perfect end.
No, it was. I agree with you.
No, it is what it is. I did love that match. All right, my number 10. And I'm not going to remember the name of WrestleMania, so you're going to have to help me out, Doug, because I did the majority of this list in my head. But Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels from WrestleMania 19. I know you don't like that WrestleMania, Doug, but I love that match. The whole I looked up to you as a kid, even though they're around the same age.
All right, so Jericho is actually 6 years younger than Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, but there's no possible way he could look up to him as when he was a kid. Shawn wasn't wrestling at six, was he?
No, but the age difference, you would have thought so. But Jericho was really younger compared to Shawn Michaels than he did.
Yeah, he did look younger. But after Chris Jericho's... Oh, go ahead, Clint.
No, I was thinking, but that's probably why he had to do it, though.
Yeah,
why
he played
it that way.
I just think after everything that went down with WrestleMania 18 and how disappointing that was for him in the match with Triple H and kind of that disappointing title run that he had, I think that this was a perfect bounce back for Chris Jericho. And to me, it's still one of his best matches ever.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say that his title run was disappointing. I get the whole WrestleMania 18 thing. Trust me, I was there. All right? That crowd was drained. Like, the only thing that popped the crowd after Hogan Rock, because they were so drained, was Trish Stratus coming out with a maple leaf on her ass.
Oh, always rock.
And I'm not being sexist or whatever. I'm telling you the fucking truth because I was there. Okay? That is the only thing that got people going. More ways than one. And I felt bad for Triple H. Triple H and Jericho did not want to main event at WrestleMania.
The storyline wasn't that great anyway.
Oh.
I don't like babyface Hunter, though.
I didn't either because he's not a babyface. I mean, he's a babyface now. He finally had the real-life heel turn, or the real-life babyface turn.
That's my number.
Okay. All right, so to kind of piggyback off what you said with WrestleMania 18, the number 10 fan vote is from WrestleMania 18.
What do you got?
It's Hogan and The Rock.
So,
not surprised.
I'm surprised that it came in at 10. Yeah. Okay. Now, very quickly, it basically, here's what it was. That crowd was very pro-Hogan. I think you only had three people in that building chanting for The Rock. Me, Kenny Lehman, and Bappa. I'm pretty sure. And then when, we could hear, all the people booing Rock and all that, Grandpa had even said, all right, let's quit cheering for Rock now because I'm pretty sure all these people in front of us are booing him and we don't want to fucking get killed.
Before, in WrestleMania in a row, he kind of got John Cena'd. Because they did the same thing with Austin. No one.
Well, that was in Texas.
Yeah.
And even though Rock got screwed at the end.
Yeah, they still cheered.
Yeah. So, and it was just, but everybody's, Canada's always been very pro-Hogan.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been like that. So, but yeah, no, that's the number 10. I mean, it was a really good match.
It's one of those matches that you need the crowd, though. If you watch that on mute, it sucks.
If you watch it on mute, if they would have done that in the performance center.
Yeah, there's no way. The atmosphere of that, I mean, you were there, obviously.
Yeah.
But the atmosphere just watching it hold, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, and that WrestleMania is a tremendous, tremendous memory of mine. But yeah, like I said, though, after that match, like, they could have just ended the show. Yeah. Like, nothing was going to pop that crowd unless you brought... I mean, and that may be one of the reasons why they sent Trish out. Vince probably said, put a maple leaf on your ass, girl. We need to get this crowd popped. But then it also took the crowd out of it. It had Trish do the job.
She lost the fucking Jazz, right?
It was Jazz leading Trish in a triple threat.
Jazz.
Yeah. So, all right. But, yeah, so that was the number 10. Fucking A.
Yeah, you just ripped the list.
No, I ripped the next page.
Number 9, Clint. Yes. What do you got?
All right, rip some.
Number 9, I am... actually going to go, I think it was Money in the Bank, WrestleMania in 2006, the one at RVD one. I want to, that 24, it was 24, right?
22,
yeah. The Money in the Bank 22 match.
That is one of the best Money in the Bank matches.
Yeah, but you had two guys that had no business being – you had two guys in that match that had no business being in there.
Joe and Kane?
No, Finley and Flair.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, are both afraid of heights. From what Bruce Pritchard was saying. Like, and neither one of them – like, they did not want to get past the third rung of that ladder.
Finley should have won it.
That's actually why Flair got knocked out of the match early, because he's like, I can't handle this. Take me out.
It just feels weird that Ric Flair was in a Money in the Bank match.
It's super fucking weird. I mean, I actually did enjoy that match.
I thought it was better than the first one.
I agree with you.
And it was nice for RVD.
Yeah. Well, it was a moment for him. That was...
Yeah, it was.
Finley, Flair, Shelton.
Yeah, a lot of young guys.
Ashley and Matt Hardy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
I love the pay-per-view, but that was such a good WrestleMania staple. And I think I wish they would have kept it, to be honest.
It definitely made things more special. All right. Me next?
Yeah, you next.
All right. Number 9, we're going all the way back to WrestleMania 4, Demolition and Strike Force for the WWF Tag Team titles.
Okay.
I love this match. The problem is that, you know, we talked earlier on about a crowd being taken out.
Yeah.
The crowd had already been sitting there for 3 hours. Already had to go through 14 matches. This was the 15th match on the show, and they still had DiBiase and Savage for the WWF title in the finals of the tournament. Nobody gave a shit. Even when Tito made the hot tag to Rick Martel, the people that had the loudest pop were Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse Ventura saying he made the tag. But, like, so the crowd, even though I love this match, the crowd really took away from it. But you can't blame them. If you're sitting there for 3.5 hours, like, obviously you're going to get bored.
Yeah. They expect wrestling fans to have such big attention spans now.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. Like, you either want to go, like, if you're sitting there, honest to God, This is kind of like how I felt at 18, even though, like, I was very, like, because back then my attention span for wrestling was,
still is.
For the most part. I mean, sometimes I'll get bored and I'll open up another window on the laptop and look at eBay or porn.
Come on.
But like back then, like, my attention span was so, you know, into what was going on. Like, I was just paying attention to everything that was going on at that WrestleMania. But, like, with the WrestleMania 4, it was just, you know, people were just, they were taken out of it.
Yeah. They were, but, I mean, it was a good tag match, though.
Yeah.
And I love Strikeforce as a team.
I love Strikeforce as a team. Their theme song, well, their theme song was catchy, like, the lyrical version of the theme song, which was on the Piledriver album.
Cars?
Yeah. Demolition was just, Demolition was cool. And the fact that Demolition actually got over and people liked them, even, you know, because they had to cheat at the Force and people were still happy with the fact that they won.
Yeah.
Just, that's one of the main reasons why Vince turned them babyface later in the year. Is because they were getting over with the car, and they were also selling merchandise. People were buying those fucking BDSM helmets.
Yeah. So like low-level strippers, but they were
yeah.
Well,
so do we.
What? All right, Eric, what do you got?
I got Austin and Hart at WrestleMania 13. I quit match. This was the match that pretty much put Austin on the map and start of his rise to the top. He didn't tap out. He fainted. And it was a good match.
I mean, you can just say that. If you say fainted, it makes him sound like a pussy. Because most people, they faint when they, you know, most guys faint when they see naked women. They don't faint.
Okay, but I meant passed out.
Yes,
yeah.
A naked woman puts you in a sharpshooter.
And he's all bloody, too, so.
Because you're so embarrassed.
It just made him, it was the start of his rise to the top.
Yeah, I mean,
at least in my opinion.
Yeah, and do all double turns have to take place in Chicago?
Another one.
A lot of double turns that took place in Chicago. Del Rio Ziggler.
Yeah.
This one. Punk and Jericho, I think. It was a double turn. Kevin Owens and Bobby Lashley double turn in Chicago.
Yeah, this is kind of
in
deliberate.
Chicago.
This was awesome. Obviously, out of Austin's face, bloodied.
Yeah.
You know, like, this made Steve Austin. And Bret Hart, yeah. And just the rest, just the way they worked each other in that match. They great chemistry. They were awesome.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of like passing the torch, in a way.
Yeah, a bit.
Yeah, I don't think Brett wanted to pass it, though.
He wanted to pass it right up Shawn Michaels' ass.
Well, see, Brett didn't want to pass the torch. That's why he actually tried to move the torch to his hands.
All right, my number.
True.
Nine. Very underrated match. And it's from a show that we're all probably going to have something from at some point, WrestleMania 17. This is one of my favorite matches. Basically, as a kid, I loved this match. I would watch it over and over again. And it's still on probably some of the best of what the Hardcore Division has to offer. And that would be Raven, Big Show, and Kane in the Triple Threat. Just like the street fight aspect of it, it's the only really memorable thing Raven did in WWF. And just the way, like, they're kicking his ass, but he's still kind of in it. And, you know, Big Show looked, like, really good. And even though I remember Big Show kind of being corny around this time, I didn't like him too much. But I really liked him here. And Kane was badass. This whole match just really did it for me. It was very different, and it was good.
You notice Jay's jab at Big Show at the beginning of the match? He's got a lot of potential, but you can't buy groceries with potential. Because that was always the thing. They made fun of Big Show for like a year and a half to 2 years because they're like, you know, he's got all the potential in the world, but he hasn't done shit yet. even though he was already WWF champion.
What did you think of the match? Did you like it?
No, I love that match.
All right, the fan vote.
And then number 9 on the fan vote, we go to WrestleMania 10, Owen and Bret.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Never talked about this before.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is new for us. I mean, obviously, it's probably... It is one of the best opening matches in WrestleMania history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Definitely.
WrestleMania.
Yeah. So, obviously, it deserves to be on the list. And this is actually the first of two Bret Hart appearances in this top 10 for the fan vote. Yeah.
I have a feeling what the other one was.
I think we just talked about it, probably. But, spoilers. As long as that fucking Iron Man match is on anyone's list, I can't wait to talk shit about that.
Oh, God.
I fucking hate that.
Hey.
Now that we said that Eric...
Hey.
Quinnis, you got a number 8?
I want to go to WrestleMania 5. Hogan versus Macho Man.
The biggest gate.
Yeah.
Or not the biggest gate, the biggest buy rate.
Of any WrestleMania. Still.
Yeah, it still holds the record. I mean, it drew bigger than Rock and Austin at 17.
Damn. That's
well, the buy rate.
Show and hold. It was awesome. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. I mean,
I love the story of it.
I mean, that's one of my favorite storylines of all time, the Mega Powers exploding. So.
Yeah, but I think the wrong guy was, because if you really do look at it, Hogan was trying to get ass. You cannot fucking tell me.
He grabbed her right on the cheek.
That he wasn't. All right. If anybody else would have done it, like if it was fucking Kurt Hennig, making advances towards Elizabeth like that, everybody would have fucking, tried to fucking set his ass on fire. But no, Hogan's making pets. Oh, he looks at Elizabeth like a sister. Fuck you, McMahon. Didn't you fucking... Vince McMahon was fucking stupid back then. Like, no, he was trying to slip it in Macho's woman. So...
True.
Yeah, I mean, you could try to say otherwise, but no, he was trying to give himself some.
I don't know if the wrong guy was, though. I mean, maybe the wrong guy was the baby.
No, the wrong guy was the baby face, the wrong guy was the heel. The wrong guy winning, I don't know, because they needed Hogan to be like the guy. Hogan was the guy, and he was ready to take the belt back.
Yeah.
It's like, but it's almost like it's on a timer, though. It's not a timer, but like whenever Hogan's ready to, ready to be champion again, he'll go up to and knock on Vince's door and go, give me sir. And then all of a sudden, he's fucking champion again.
Yeah. I mean, Macho had a great reign, though.
Yeah, he did. There's no denying that. It was.
Yeah, right?
Doing the math in my head. 361 days. No, 362. Yeah.
All right. Who's next? You?
Yeah.
We don't have to really talk about this because
somebody already brought it up, I think. That'd be you. Pretty sure. Shawn Michaels and Jericho. No, I'm reading the wrong. No, because we're doing mine, right?
Yeah.
And not the fan vote.
But it's just one. It's your turn.
All right. Mine is WrestleMania 23, Umaga and Bobby Lashley.
The hair versus hair match. You like that one?
Yeah.
With our president?
Yeah.
Or former president?
Yeah.
Can you believe he was the babyface back then?
It was more believable back then. He wouldn't be a babyface now.
No.
No.
And the thing is that even in Hollywood, like when Hollywood was asked to pick a winner, they're all like, oh, please let it be McMahon. Let Trump get humiliated, please. Like they were begging. But then Trump took a stunner, so. So if anybody ever wants vindication for any bad thing Trump has done, just watch the end of that match at WrestleMania 23, and you'll see Trump get on, which he did. He took a shitty stunner.
But, yeah, the match was good. It was Molly and Bobby Lashley at their best around
it. Yeah. And this is before, like, this is not, it's not the Bobby Lashley that we know now. It was the, you know, smiling, I don't even know why I just.
Yeah, it's radio.
Yeah. The smiling Bobby Lashley, you know, points his fingers like he's air traffic control. You know, not the killer Bobby Lashley that we know now, but Umaga was just fantastic. Yeah.
All righty.
Eric?
It's the one that you just shit on. HBK and Bret Hart, WrestleMania 12, Iron Man match.
You're fired.
Well, no. Why do you like it?
I mean, it was a great match. I mean, that's so.
That's why he likes it.
I enjoyed it, but.
I mean, I
did it drag it?
Too.
It did drag, but that's why it's not higher on my list. But I still liked it.
Okay. You want to know what? I think it was one of the best matches I did. I got your back on this one. That was one of my favorites. Now, it was on my list a couple of years ago, but it got bumped out. That was one of my favorite matches.
Who's going to turn into the
best?
That match sucked. It was way too long. It was like watching paint dry. I'd rather watch Doug wrestle a polar bear.
So they just need to watch one of
the. I'll take that over the one that has a lot of a day of the week. Are you trying to say you?
Oh yeah, the Survivor match sucked, but it wasn't like an actual match.
Right. Basically,
they didn't have good chemistry. I know I'm going to get killed for it. I do not think that they had the once-in-a-lifetime chemistry that everyone thinks they had. Rockers and Hell Heart Foundation was great matches. But besides that, the two of them weren't that great together.
All right, so this match, if there was, like, one or two falls, if there was, like, maybe two or more falls in this match, then yes, I would agree. But for just 60 minutes of them just exchanging rest holds, like, no. Like, watching this match, because I watched WrestleMania 12 a few weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. And I was getting so bored by this match. Opened up a new window. Watched something else that I mentioned earlier. And then 5 minutes left, I tuned back into Bret and Shawn.
I mean, if you're a fan of them.
I mean, if you're a fan of them, then great. You know, then you have the attention span, which Eric did not have, so I don't know why he...
Wait, I have an attention span.
You don't have a good attention span.
Wow. I'm trying.
But, I mean, Clint, I can understand him liking this match because he does have the attention span to... You know, just sit there and just kind of watch one and not really get bored. And when he does get bored, obviously, you know, he does the same thing. He walks out of the room or whatever.
Yeah.
Or his attention gets diverted whenever Jaden walks in the room. But, like, for anybody that has a short attention span, this is not the match for them. Unless it's Eric, who worships the ground that HBK pitches at.
All right.
I'll go next. It's a good match. My number eight is going to be a female match. The only female match on my list, and that would be Mickie James and Trish Stratus. I forget the WrestleMania.
22.
Pre-Women's Revolution, this is one of the best female storylines there's ever been. I love the Mickie James stalker gimmick. Even though they edited it out, I liked how she talked about eating Trish's snatch during the thing. Like she did the...
The whole finger-licking thing.
Yeah, the finger-licking thing. They should not edit it out. It was cool, damn it.
Edit it out?
Yeah, you can't find it on the network.
Yeah.
It's a hack.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I feel vindicated now because I read Triple H. Triple H did an interview about all this stuff, not me, and on Peacock. Yeah, he goes, look, we just migrated to the cock. And I was just like, thank you. Somebody else said it, but me.
But yeah, I thought this match was really good for what the ladies had, and I thought it was a nice passing of the torch for Trish.
Yeah.
She was kind of on her way out eventually.
Yeah.
So I like that. What's the fans vote? Oh, that's WrestleMania 19, right?
Yeah, Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho.
I like that match, too.
To Clinton for number seven.
Number seven. I am going... with the triple threat at WrestleMania 20 between Shawn Michaels, Benoit, and Triple H for the World Heavyweight title. That is my...
No.
No.
I mean, if the whole Benoit situation didn't happen, it would be considered one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time by WWE.
Yeah.
Because it was that Daniel Bryan moment that they had, this was way more important to me. To me, I mean, the Benoit moment at 20 was way bigger than the Bryan moment at 30, in my opinion. And him and Eddie after crying and hugging, and it's like, oh, my God. Like, even if you're not a wrestling fan, you just look at that, and you're just so happy.
Yeah.
I think that's what really did it for me, watching Eddie Guerrero come out.
Yeah, that was the best part.
This is good. Just to congratulate him. That was just like...
And Triple H bloodily tapping at the end. Like, it was so cool.
Yeah, I actually thought they were going to do a thing where he was going to pass out from the crossface because, you know, Earl grabbed his hand and was going to try to drop it three times, but then, you know, Hunter got his arm up at one. Like, I thought some shit was going to get pulled to where, like, Hunter was not going to take it. I did not actually think he was going to lose at WrestleMania.
And the only thing I would say negative that, well, I think the storyline did call for it because Triple H and Shawn Michaels were in such a bitter feud.
Yeah.
But I do think Michaels was kind of like the Daniel Bryan of that, to where you could have just done Benoit and Triple H. But Shawn did add a lot to that match.
Shawn added a lot to the match, and I think the match was a lot better because Shawn was in there.
Yeah, I think
if you would have took Shawn out that match would have been like one of the worst matches of the night.
I don't know about that, but I don't think there would have been as much hype. Like, he was the star power. Like, it was like, oh, this Chris
Benoit. Here's what I'm saying, because we all know how, like, Triple H doesn't like to put people over and give people, especially people he don't like working with. Without Shawn Michaels,
oh, yeah.
That match will be utter trash. Just look
at
the WCW
guy.
Yeah.
No, he liked Benoit.
I don't think he did.
I mean, to tell you the truth, the Benoit Triple H singles match he had on the Eddie Guerrero tribute show, that was a good match. I loved it.
Oh, yeah,
but
it was good.
Yeah. But if you will put that... If they would have had that type of, like, moment at WrestleMania, then maybe. But because it's not nothing special, I don't think Triple H would have done the job one-on-one against Benoit.
That's fair.
I mean, he's right to a point.
What's your number
WrestleMania.
Bret Hart and Roddy Piper from WrestleMania 8.
Great match.
Yeah. For a WrestleMania that was switched around a lot and that a lot of people say is disappointing because we didn't get Hogan Slayer, this match was one of the bright spots of that show. And, you know, Bret Hart got color, which they weren't allowed to do back then, but Bret was able to pass it off his hard way.
Really?
Yeah. But no, it was a really good match. And, you know, Bret got to win the Intercontinental title back. Piper actually got to defend a title at WrestleMania. So,
and they were both babyface, right? That's what's cool.
And I think this actually worked out better than the WrestleMania 6 match between Warrior and Hogan. Even though that match is actually higher on that list.
All right, Eric, what do you got?
I got Austin and Rock, WrestleMania 15. The first of three WrestleMania matches, two of them. This probably was, what do you say, the best? I don't know if it was the best one, but I thought it was a pretty good match. So I just watched it today. So.
I want to say the best.
Do you want to go first, Doug? Because I know you don't like this one.
I wasn't a fan of it. No.
I was there for that match. My first and only WrestleMania.
Yeah, you went to this WrestleMania, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
What was the crowd like? Like, was it awesome?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think it was more between that and then watching the Hell in a Cell between Bossman and Taker.
Oh, God.
I think I like... Because I kind of like the fact, as a kid, just watching, like, Boston is sitting there hanging from the cell. I was like, and then once they had to cut to the promo, how they had to lower the cell back down just to cut them off.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, absolutely. I like this one.
It was a good match. I liked the one at 17 better.
Well, yeah, but to me, this is like classic traditional babyface Austin.
WrestleMania.
Total opposites.
Yeah.
Champion versus the everyman. Like, this was what I liked about the rivalry. And then you got Vince and everything.
And if you also think of it, too, with that match going in, I think they was trying to retell the Shawn Michaels stories, because everybody knows, like, the WrestleMania 14, even Austin said that match, it wasn't his favorite. His first title match was a war, and they was trying to give him, like, that special title run again. And I guess retell his title run will make it better. And I think, to me, I think he actually did. With The Rock came on that.
Yeah, because this was like Austin in his prime. Like, he was there. And Rock was like really just getting there. Like, he was there at the moment. Like, he was like, he just arrived at his prime. And these guys are locking home. And it was like Attitude Era awesomeness, too. Like, chair shots and...
Yeah. And just think, Shawn Michaels was actually trying to ruin Rock's push and get Mankind added into the match. Well, depending on who you believe.
I've got a couple stories about that.
Yeah. Well, Vince Russo tells a story that he tried to get Mick added into the match, and Shawn Michaels shit on that.
Yeah, he said
and
no.
Got into Austin's head, and Austin said, no, I want a single with Rock.
Yeah.
But Mick himself even said that it was Shawn that hated Rock.
A lot of people say that.
So, I don't know. Do you believe...
That's why you never had a match.
Or do you believe Vince Russo?
Well, I mean, I believe that because around that time, apparently that's when Michaels and Triple H were running the joint. Not running the joint, but, I mean, they were kind of past that. That was 197. But they still, like, tried to, like, throw their weight around. And apparently he was kind of a...
Well, Sean was trying to throw his weight around more. I think Hunter was just more...
Well, Hunter and Rock didn't get along. And they talk about that. They didn't get along back then. They were very competitive. It's not that they hated each other, but they were not friends by any stretch of the imagination. Like, in the latter match and stuff, they weren't friends. They didn't like each other.
I think they started liking each other, though, in, like, 2000, 2001.
Yeah. But when they were both coming up like that, they weren't fans of each other. I don't think Charles liked Rock too much.
Now, let me ask you this. Now, when you have, like, guys who hate each other, do you think they work better in the ring compared to the people who actually know each other and have faced each other in the ring?
I think it depends on the wrestlers.
Yes and no. Well, yes, because Edge and Christian have terrible chemistry when they wrestle. Like, their feud in 2001 I did not like, even though they're best friends. Edge and Matt Hardy put on a great rivalry, even though they wanted to kill each other because Lita was getting
pissed. That was a real-life story.
Yeah.
That was a real-life drama. I just totally...
That was real, and they really hated each other. They really... But the matches were good, right? I liked them.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, so I'd have to say, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I do. All right, yeah. Fan vote for number 7.
I don't get one?
Oh, you didn't go yet?
No.
Oh, go.
Jericho and Christian from 20.
That was actually pretty good.
I love that. I mean,
that
I did
was
not.
Pretty. I like this one.
It was a really good shock, I think, the end.
Oh, that shocked the shit out of me back then. I mean, I was disappointed because I liked Trish back then, but I'm like, oh, fuck, I got to boo her.
Yeah, because we're all in love with Trish. It's like, no! And then it's like you feel bad for Jericho. It's like a couple months ago, I thought he was a dick, and now I like him. And Christian, that like made Christian. The fact that they, I know he got hurt, but like he should have been main event after that. Like that, he was like, that set him up to be a big player, and he's making out with Trish on the grandest stage of them all.
Now, if he didn't get hurt in the Battle Royal, or if he didn't get hurt in a cage match with Jericho, do you think he would have won the Battle Royal and not Kane?
No. Because Vince never really had faith in Christian. And that's known and talked about.
Well, then that's when it's sleeping pills in his coffee and put him to bed. And then just have somebody else book it.
He liked Edge. He didn't see it with Christian. Why Christian went to TNA and did what he did.
Yeah.
That's why he's no longer with the company.
There you go. Yeah. All right, fanfare.
Nah.
There you go.
Hey, Rock and Austin from 17.
Fuck, that's my number one.
Yeah.
I love that match. It's one of my favorite matches of all time. The only bad thing you can say about it is the heel turn thing. But it was still cool to see in the moment.
Yeah.
And Rock kicking out of just about everything.
Yeah, and it's like he keeps on fighting. It's like, and it was dope. And it's like these two babyface, and that's what made me really like babyface versus babyface. I mean, they did the Austin turn, but going into that, it's like it felt like the biggest thing ever.
So one of the Austin DVDs came out. I think it was the 07 or 07 or 08 one.
Yeah.
Not the 11 one. Well, it might have been. I don't remember. You know, that's back when I was buying like all the DVDs or whenever they would come out. And remember when I had that cabinet up and I called it Blockbuster?
Yeah.
And I would tell you, hey, go to Blockbuster, get yourself something to watch. And,
yeah.
You know, you would, and then the DVD went missing. But so the 2007 one or the 2008 DVD, I happened to watch it. I was at Bobbitt's. And we're watching the match, or the Rock Austin match. Now, again, this match is 7 years old at this point, right? And Rock gets hit with, I think he got hit with the stunner. 1-2, kick out. Pop. He pops. He's like, oh, my God, he kicked out. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I mean, this match's 7 years old. We already know what happens here. Rock gets hit with a chair. Rock kicks out. Another pop. And it was even getting, you know, somebody excited that watched this thing like 7 years prior, but still was getting excited. That, you know, that's how good this match was, is that, like, even people that have already seen it, they still pop when they see, you know, Rock, you know, keep fighting and then, and all that stuff.
That's when you know it's a good match. When somebody pops, I mean, 10 years later or something.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, the match itself was just so good. I mean, like I said, I mean, this is like the Super Bowl. They say WrestleMania is like the Super Bowl. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. It felt like it here.
Yeah. This WrestleMania felt like a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There's only, I can only think of about four or five, maybe six WrestleManias that felt like Super Bowls. This one being one of them. I'd probably call five a Super Bowl. Mainly because, you know, Hogan Savage. You know, the buy rate there, obviously. You know, Andre and Jake and how heavily promoted that was. Dino Bravo, Ronnie Garvin.
John Cena, Rock.
The Russo. This
is the greatest ever to do it. All right, number six.
Yeah.
Plymouth, what do you got?
I'm going with CM Punk and The Undertaker at WrestleMania 29.
That was Undertaker's. That was the Undertaker's last best match before the Boneyard match.
Yeah.
That was on that streak of Undertaker classics. That was the last one.
Yeah.
That was his last win before. Bro.
Yeah. And CM Punk really, he got a lot out of him that match.
Yeah, and to tell you the truth, I really do think the wrong guy went over. Like, I really, in my heart, believe CM Punk should have been the one to end the streak.
I can see that.
I don't disagree with that.
He would have ran like a bitch after, but if he would have stuck around, balled up a little bit.
Oh, definitely.
And here's the thing. All right, it's real quick on him. It's because of him that Daniel Bryan got the push at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
Because
Daniel Bryan
was meant for him.
He was wrestling. He wasn't going to do the title thing, though. That wasn't for him.
Well, it was the match against Triple H was
for him. He wasn't going to advance into the main event was Batista and Orton.
Yeah, and then he was going to face Batista for the title at SummerSlam and get the title.
Months later.
Yeah. Like, the whole Daniel Bryan Triple H thing, the fans can take credit for that all they want, but the no-good bastards have to realize that it's because of Punk. I mean, yes, Daniel Bryan getting added into the Triple Threat match had something to do with the, 72 virgins that, bitched and complained, oh, Daniel Bryan's not getting the proper pay. Shut the fuck up.
All right, what's your number six?
Okay,
there?
Thank you.
I get
my number six is
he's going for
Angle and we already talked about it last week actually too. Eddie and Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 20.
Well, there goes my number two. My number one.
Go take a number two.
That's one of the greatest exhibitions of wrestling art in the history of wrestling. I mean, just those two. I mean, and
exactly.
The boot thing. I mean, that's an awesome finish. And then Angle, like, ah, motherfucker! And he's like screaming in the ring with the boot in his hand. And I don't know. Yeah. I love that. It was better than the Triple Threat in my eyes.
I agree with that. Yeah.
It was a better match than that card. I think we both all rated that better. Didn't we?
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Doug.
Undertaker and Kane from 14.
Okay.
I mean, it was a really good storyline. The match was, and then like Kane having to get, you know, taken down with three tombstones, that really built Kane up.
Yeah.
Because then afterward, like when he got up and he beat the shit out of Taker after, Like, you knew they weren't done. And God, was Paul Bear fat. I mean, I should talk because probably by this time next week I'm going to weigh as much as he did, but...
I mean, Eric, when I come to visit you at work tomorrow, I might not be able to fit in the door.
Okay. All right. So I have a question for you. Since you bring that match up, and it always made me wonder, do you think Taker should have won that match knowing, or would you book it to have Kane win instead? Because this was before the streak actually got, like, started to get popular.
Yeah, this is.
Would you have booked Kane to win? Would you have booked Kane? Because I always say again, maybe Kane should have won at WrestleMania 14.
He should have. If I was on the committee at the time, I would have said, "Let's give Kane the victory."
Yeah, because then Undertaker was going to win the next match anyway.
Yeah, and it would have established him. But knowing what we know now, I mean, the streak was. We need the streak.
Yeah, but we didn't know we needed it back then.
No,
you know. In 1998, if we were sitting in a meeting, like you said, okay, well, Kane goes over.
But, I mean, Kane's still in the Hall of Fame. Well, tomorrow he is.
No, that already happened. Yeah,
yeah, so.
I mean,
it turned out okay for him.
Yeah.
All right. Fan vote.
Or no, you got to go.
Do you not want me to participate? I can just host.
You just get over me.
I can just host. It's fine. I actually.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Thanks, Eric. You mentioned it earlier. I'm going with the Boneyard match from last year. Because basically, and I'm basing that on expectation. Because when I heard The Undertaker was coming back again, I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. You know, what nursing home are they breaking him out of? No, man, I love The Undertaker. Time to be done. Okay. And AJ, when I heard that, it's like, okay, well, if anyone's going to get anything out of him, it's AJ. But they're still going to have a match, and it's not really going to do either of them justice, and I wasn't excited. And then when they're like a Boneyard match, it's like, what the hell is this? Now, the execution, everything about it, it's still the best thing that the Good Brothers have ever done, including their stuff in AEW, and that's just their little cameo. Everything about that little fight, I mean, that's what made cinematic matches. Like, after that, WWE's like, we need to keep doing this. And now they've kind of stopped because they realize it's not that great. The cinematic match, like, that made that, like, when you say, like, what is the best cinematic match, that's one of my up there. I know Matt Hardy made it a thing with his deletion, but that was, like, that Boneyard match, it was like a movie. It was like we watched wrestling and then we got to see a little movie in between. And it was amazing. Styles is a perfect heel. And Undertaker is that, you know, old grizzled veteran that taught him a lesson.
Right.
I thought it was well done.
Exactly.
All right.
That was a fun match.
Yeah.
The fan vote is the triple 20.
Top five. Yeah, 15 minutes. All right, Quentin. What's your number five?
Kobe Kingston versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 35.
Kobe Bryant.
That's my question. Oh, good.
I was about to say, did I miss that cameo? Kofi and Daniel Bryan was
great.
It was probably the best match of 35.
And I like that card, too.
Yeah. I don't think I ever actually watched, like, the full card because it was
15 hours.
Yeah.
I mean...
The whole day.
Was that the seven-hour mania match? I mean, card?
It was a seven-hour match. I don't think we'd be ready.
It was, WrestleMania starts at, like, 3 o'clock and ends at 2 midnight. Come on.
I was watching it eating breakfast, and then I finished it.
Well, that's because you drink at 8:30 in the morning.
That's besides it. But yeah, I mean that was awesome. It was nice to have. I wish like Kofi would still be in the main event because he's a main event level guy in my opinion. But I love that he had that moment.
I mean, he deserved it.
Sorry for Mustafa Ali. Your head hasn't really. He's the biggest reject in that whole thing.
Well, you capitalize on another man's injury. And I think if they would have done something with the New Day instead of having – this is one reason why I was always against the New Day beating the Hurt Business for the tag titles, because I think they was trying to push for Mustafa Ali to get his revenge at WrestleMania this year against Kofi Kingston. And I was kind of looking forward to it. Here you got a man that took your spot in the limelight in a title, your title run, and now you're finally going to get your revenge out, or finally going to see these two heated rivals go at it, and then he just
throw him right this out. Heart.
Yes.
Right.
Why didn't we get it?
Because retribution. Number five for me.
Yeah.
Undertaker and Triple H from 17.
Yeah, it was a good one. Underrated.
Yeah, underrated because they don't talk about it, because the only WrestleMania matches that Taker and Triple H had that exist in WWE's mind are 27 and 28, right?
Yeah.
27 sucked. 28 was good because of the sell. 17 was their best one.
Yeah.
Hell's ride him off something, too? Or was it a choke slam?
It was a choke slam off, like, a stage or something like that. They said it was like a no-holds-barred match, but the only reason why it was no-holds-barred is because the referee was unconscious for 10 minutes of it.
Okay. Who's next? Eric?
Yeah.
Eric, you're number five.
WrestleMania 26, HBK and Undertaker, Career versus Streak. This is the main event of that WrestleMania. Great match. 25 was better, but this was still a great match in the show. And, yeah. And HBK hasn't wrestled since, unlike Ric Flair. Yes,
no,
he did retire.
No, he had the match with Saudi.
Yeah, the tag team.
Oh, that's right.
When he looked like one.
Never mind.
I was just going to say, the top of his head looked like a shaved penis.
Never mind.
All right, well, I'll go next. I got another Shawn Michaels classic. Him and John Cena from 22. 23?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a good match.
Yeah, I really...
That was a really underrated WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was.
Had not Ashley Massaro, God rest her soul, R.I.P., she had that match, because let's face it, the match between her and Melina wasn't great, but that's also because Ashley actually had a broken ankle training.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not her fault.
Well, she wasn't a good
person
either.
No, she wasn't, but she tried.
Yeah, she tried.
And she was a company girl.
Yeah.
And she looked great naked.
All right.
Had that match not been on the card, that would have been probably one of the... You know, I talked earlier about Super Bowls.
Yeah.
How WrestleMania feels like a Super Bowl. That probably would have been one of those Super Bowl WrestleManias.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, do you consider Rock and John Cena too? That
I like the second match better.
Really? I thought the first match.
No, the first match was better. I just liked the second match better. But
the first
one
was from New York, right?
I have another.
I mean,
I have another 23 on my list that we'll see. But yes, Cena and Michaels. All right, fan vote.
All right, fan vote. Number five, right?
Yeah.
TLC Kid from WrestleMania 17.
So my whole top five is getting knocked out.
That goes my top. That goes my three.
All right.
That goes my number three.
hardcore wrestling at its best, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe not hardcore, but
these three tag teams revitalized the tag team division.
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
And I mean the Dudley Boys, especially. Trust me, I like the Hardy Boys better. I like the Hardy Boys. I like Edge and Christian. Devon Dudley's okay. Bubba just, you know, he's a turd in the toilet that needs to be plunged.
He's a bully. That's why he's named Bully Ray.
Yeah. But yeah, no, so that's a number five for the fan vote.
Right. Let's blow through this number four. Clintus?
Number four, I'm going WrestleMania 6. Warrior versus Hogan.
Well, I don't even know.
Huh?
Yeah, him and I had the exact same number four. like exactly. So I don't even need to talk. Like you go ahead.
No, thank you, Clinton. We need to build this man a statue.
The Randy Orton pose right there, baby.
But yeah, elaborate though. Hogan and Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior. I think this is probably one of the best matches because number one, you had going for two titles, and the story was actually, I like the story going into it, and knowing you have two baby faces in a main event, no heel, and it's just, I think one of the best matches you can ever. I've seen, like, old school wise. I can actually watch and enjoy. It's very hard for me to go back in time and actually watch WrestleMania, but when you watch WrestleMania Rewind, you see the story, the background of it. I enjoy the match.
Yeah, I mean, it was very entertaining.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, you're number four?
My number is it's from WrestleMania 3, Savage and Steamboat. What else is there to say about this match?
They take time talking about the fan vote. Because the fan vote is Savage and Steamboat. I mean, yeah, it's got
Number four? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
obviously.
Eric agrees with
the
people,
of all time.
And I agree. And you guys know.
Yeah, there's not much to say about this. Was just a great match.
Yeah, it's epic.
Yeah. Well, it was probably the first WrestleMania classic that there had been.
Yeah.
Yep.
My number four was actually TLC 2, so I did agree with somebody. Well,
TLC 2 is my number three.
Oh, shit. We're about I think we're all going to have the same stuff. Finals.
We might. So we might. We got 6 minutes to do this.
Yes. All right.
For this first, right?
For this number three.
All right. My number three. I am actually. What did I put for number three? Actually, I want to go see the. I'll say the women's title match between Becky, Sasha, and Charlotte. WrestleMania 32. The triple threat for the women's title.
I mean, the only thing I didn't like at the end is that Sasha was supposed to win the match, but for some reason they decided to go with Charlotte instead, and then Flair just kind
of
holds.
Of course,
like,
he did.
To kick Flair in the fucking face when he was grabbing her legs.
Yeah,
he's another one that needs to break a hip.
But yeah, that was a great match. What's your number three, Doug?
Macho King and Ultimate Warrior from WrestleMania 7, the career-ending match.
Ooh,
I love that match. I mean, it was a little overkill. Macho King hitting five elbows and Warrior kicking out. But the moment at the end when Miss Elizabeth came in and her and Macho Man reunited, very heartfelt moment.
It basically made the made Warrior winning seem like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, Macho gets his girl back at the end.
And then it's like, oh, we get to like him again. Yay.
Yeah. So, that's my number three.
And he didn't stop wrestling.
No, he did for about, ooh. All right, so the original idea was Elizabeth and Savage were, Elizabeth wanted to have a kid. So, Randy was going to stop wrestling, and they were going to, you know, get busy. Well, it never happened. I don't know if he was shooting blanks or the fact that Vince just decided to put him back on TV as a commentator, which obviously is not the equivalent of time off. So, but yeah, that was the time. I mean, he would eventually back, obviously, and be in the ring. But yeah, that was the original purpose for the career ending matches. So he could go and start a family with him. Kidnap.
All right, Eric, you're number three. Huh? Or what? That was really broad.
TLC 2.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We already talked about it.
I already, my three and two have been talked about it because I had WrestleMania 17 and something else, Angle and Guerrero.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to skip to one.
Okay. All right. Fan vote for number three, Bret Hart and Stone Cold from 13. Yes.
Clintus, what's your number two?
Yep. Number two, I am going to... I will say Roman Reigns and Taker versus WrestleMania 33. For some strange reason, I didn't. I actually thought that was going to be Taker's last match, and in a way, and it was much better than I expected. That's why I'll put it there, because it was his last match, and the way he retired the gloves, and he was never thought he was going to walk into the sunset again and never come back, but yeah, he comes back again. I think that's probably 1 month.
That was a good match.
Yeah, it was. No, it wasn't. I mean, I didn't enjoy it.
It's okay. I mean, yeah, it was all right.
Yeah. I mean, it was all right, but the story behind it and then watching what happened at the end, it was like, okay, he's finally done. It felt like my childhood was ripped apart and then came back like a year later.
I didn't mind it. You're number two.
I think he went. My number two is the other HBK and Undertaker with me 25. This was a classic.
Not bringing up the Anvil thing, because look what that was.
Okay.
That was number two, too?
Yeah. Eric,
wow.
Okay. He's with the people.
In my mind, it is the better.
Well, yeah.
It is, yeah.
I mean, the story and the passion of the second one was amazing, but match-wise, you really thought Shawn might get him. You really did.
Yeah. I did. And of course, I did.
And I love the whole, he comes out in all white and everything and shit. And he's the light to the Undertaker's darkness, which it really should be the other one. Well, maybe it shouldn't. But, yeah, I like that. Did you like it, Doug?
Yes, I did.
All right. What's your number two? Did you already say it?
Kurt Angle and Eddie Guerrero. We've already talked about it.
All right. We already did the fan vote. All right. Everyone's number one.
Ah,
good. Your number one WrestleMania match of all time.
Why were you just patting on my ass?
Oh, my God.
Well, Eric took mine because I did put Taker and Al Michaels. Was 25 was my match right there.
Nice.
Damn.
Okay. Doug?
Macho Man and Ric Flair from WrestleMania 8.
Talk about it.
All right. Really good story. The whole she was mine before she was yours, and the whole thing, you know, where the WWF magazine published the pictures, and then, like, you know, Macho Man wanted to kill the guy from the magazine, who, of course, was British. And he goes, and I goes, you know, we do not approve of, I can't do a British accent. We don't approve of, you know, Randy Savage tarnishing his good name. You know, if they would have been home when we reached out to them, then no, we would not have published these pictures if they would have said that they were. No, you wait and you talk to them before you publish. Fuck that. Put fucking Shawn Michaels and Sensational Sherry on the cover of the next magazine, not the Flair and Elizabeth. Fucking morons. So, I mean, it was a really good story, and the match was really good. For a WrestleMania that, you know, a lot of people shit on because you didn't get Hogan Flair, fuck Hogan Flair. This match was a lot better.
Yeah, this was really, really good.
Yeah. Eric Stern? Yeah.
My number one, you'll probably be surprised, Kurt Angle and HBK from WrestleMania 21. I thought this was a classic. I just watched it today, too.
Did he fucking... Has he been here?
Yo. This dude really did say that. He said it.
What?
Yeah. Did Eric walk in the house at some point during the week and read my notebook?
Yes, that is the fan vote number one.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
I didn't think anybody else would have this match.
Yeah, no, it was the fan vote. It was the number one fan vote. We were kind of
shocked. I love this match. This had everything. Storyline, wrestling, and the way that it ended was just perfect.
The right guy won.
Yeah. No, you needed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, unfortunately, after this, he went to stalking Booker T's wife, Charmel.
That was 23, right?
21.
21. Underrated WrestleMania, too. In my mind.
Yeah.
I love that WrestleMania, so I'd agree.
It was Kurt and...
Yeah, JBL and John Cena, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically what made Cena and Batista.
Yeah.
But, and that leads me to my number one, which is going to close out the show, apparently. WrestleMania 23... We're running out of time. We'll talk about his tomorrow when we start.
Okay.
Batista and Undertaker, WrestleMania 23. That's my favorite WrestleMania match of all time. I think that's what started the whole Undertaker amazing WrestleMania streak. The year before that was Orton, right? It wasn't that great. It
was okay. Yeah.
So,
or no, the year before that was Mark Henry in the casket.
Okay, so yeah, this started the streak.
Yeah.
And he just went on a tangent of great matches after this. But, this was so believable. It was so hard to follow. I thought this should have been the main event, even though I did put Michaels and Cena on my list.
Yeah.
But I just love this match. Everything about it. And as a kid and as a lifelong Batista fan, I really thought that he could beat The Undertaker. And this is when the streak really started to matter, in my opinion.
You're not wrong.
So, yeah, I'm gonna go back. And with that being said,
we're gonna read Stevie's list tomorrow at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
All right, you have an announcement to make.
Yes. And my announcement is that everyone should go listen to the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Friday after NXT and AEW, and every after SmackDown tonight.
Yeah.
After AEW now.
And listen to them Sunday. They'll be doing Sunday night for WrestleMania.
Yeah. So make sure to check them out. Make sure to check us out Fridays 6:30 p.m. for the Unscripted Wrestling Show. Sundays for Scaredy Cats 3 p.m. And Saturday, we usually do a mixed bag. Tomorrow, obviously, please check us out for our WrestleMania kickoff show, I guess we're calling it. Boardroom Antics, I thought it was, but...
Well, it is, but...
Okay. Boardroom, yeah, Antics.
Boardroom Bitches.
So
we'll figure it out.
And that's going to be a fun time. And next week, that's what I'm announcing, right? Next week, because I won the fantasy wrestling again, I get to pick, which I'm losing pretty bad now. So I might not win this month. So it might get exciting.
Well, it depends on what goes on in WrestleMania. And I need to get upstairs and watch SmackDown because the Fatal 4-Way Tag Match could be happening right now.
It's not. I'm watching it. It's not.
I forgot. Just watch SmackDown while talking to us. Well, what's on right now?
It's just Daniel Bryan talking about WrestleMania. Nothing special.
Oh, okay.
All right. What are we doing next week, Dan?
What are we doing next week?
Yeah.
You want to know what we're doing?
I hope we're doing TNA pay-per-view.
Backlash 2004.
Is it even on the network?
Okay. I thought you were going to treat a TNA pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is on the network.
Yeah, but then we
haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, but then I got to get Impact Plus.
There's some pay-per-views on YouTube.
Yeah, but they suck.
Oh, yeah.
Which one do you want to do? We can do that. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll announce it tomorrow.
You gotta pick something that we can, get either off Peacock or whatever.
Well, you said Backlash 2004. I think it is on there.
It's on there. Okay.
Then we'll move that.
In case it's not, let's do this. Let's do the CW tier list.
No, Backlash 2004 is on Peacock. I'm watching. I'm on it right now. It is on Peacock.
Backlash 04?
Yes.
Yes.
We're going to be doing Backlash 04. Okay. Sorry, Eric, but we'll do a TNA show soon. With that being said, everyone, this was awesome, and we will see everybody next week.
If we have to do a TNA show, Eric's the one that's got to pay for Impact.
Okay, fine.
He's just kidding. Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
Been a struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby.
Shake it.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking the bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red.